miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike will answer some of your email questions in about 8 minutes. Real Age Tip of the Week coming up for the end of the hour, too. And we'll continue on now with some of the top medical stories of the week. I want to hear about why we have bad breath coming up in a minute. Plus, we're eating more meat, which doesn't surprise me. And what you need to know about your kitchen sponge. But the FDA, Dr. Mike, is saying to farmers, no more antibiotics to fatten up livestock. What do you know about that?
Well, that's an interesting story because they said no more antibiotics to, if you will, fatten up the livestock. But they said you can use it to prevent disease. And it's a voluntary ban, so it's a voluntary. And the two largest antibiotic providers say they're going to go with it. It seems to me almost crazy because what it says is we're going to cut our income if we do this by a lot. But the exception is, one, it's voluntary, mm-hmm. and two is it's also to prevent disease. Now, you're supposed to get, if you comply with this, a prescription from a veterinarian for each animal you use it on. I think the chances are, what would you do if someone asked you to cut your voluntarily, because they don't have any power over you unless they go through a long process, if they ask you voluntarily to cut your income 80% to 90%, Joe?
Yeah, sure. I'd do it, right? I'm winking my eye.
Yeah, you know everybody what I mean? In the whole, the reason is this is a serious problem. The antibiotic usage in animals indiscriminately seems to be bringing up antibiotic-resistant bugs, which will kill us. That is, kill Americans and maybe those in other countries. So my guess is when we look at this 2 years from now, we're going to have to go through that lengthy 10 or 20-year process from the FDA to ban this or change the law so the FDA has more power over these antibiotics. The problem for you and me, Joe, is we're in the era of, I don't know that the 10 or 20-year process will help us get new antibiotic medications that will be effective against the resistant organisms that we have now grown and will grow in the next 10 to 20 years.
What kind of job do you think the FDA does in general?
It has a tough, tough job because it has this horrible, if you will, it controls 25% of all commerce in the United States. It's terribly understaffed, and it can't, because of political lobbying, et cetera, it can't do a lot to really, the laws have hamstrung it. So it has to fight with this law that says you got to make sure they do this, but we have no power to do it. You've got to make sure you go through and search it on each of these items, mm-hmm. and then go to court to prove it against them. So it's the FDA is doing it voluntarily, because if they did it mandatorily, it would take them 10 to 20 years to get the same result.
Yeah, a long time.
So the FDA is trying to do a good job, but our lawmakers, those wonderful people who are in Congress, have really hamstrung
them. Yeah. And they're gone on vacation now, so don't try to call them now until after the first of the year.
I mean, you believe how much time they spend in Washington?
Right.
I think they're going to spend 6 days working between November 20th and December 31st.
A few more days, and then bye-bye until after the first of the year.
And most of those days, I hate to say it, but never mind. I won't say
it. Well, no. We all re-vote them in again, so it's almost our fault in a way that we see the same people in there term after term after term. Your number one medical story of the week involves the best fruit. The best fruit. What are the details?
Well, take a guess at the best fruit, Joe.
Oh, boy. The best fruit. I'll say an avocado.
Oh, you knew it. You knew it from that.
No, I don't know anything.
You're absolutely right. It has fats. It has a lot of omega-3 fats that actually have been shown to inhibit cancer cell growth, especially prostate and breast cancer cell growth in cell culture. Mm-hmm. So this story came out of Mexico's Monterey College of Technology. Obviously, avocados are a product of Mexico as well as Southern California and Chile and
Italy, too.
They're wonderful. They actually are pretty pricey and pretty caloric, but the calories are great calories. Avocados contain 28% of the recommended of a number of vitamins, but they also contain fiber and monounsaturated fats, which reduce heart disease and, if you will, are excellent, at least in test tube, at preventing both breast and prostate cancer. So I actually do believe this is a great season to get your avocado, and it's got that hard shell, so it doesn't get contaminated by a lot of pesticides and other things. Remember to wash the avocado well before you touch it. Wash the knife well, because if the knife touches the outside of it, that outside and that hard casing actually does have a lot of pesticides in it.
No. Well, nonetheless, we'll dedicate today's show then to the avocado. What do you say?
Avocado. Do you know, I should tell you, I'll have to ask you offline if I can say this online next week, because avocado is the Aztec word for, and so people can look up what avocado is the Aztec word for.
Okay. Well,
but
we'll
I don't know if I can say it on TV,
radio. All right. Don't say it then. How about the, what are some keys to bad breath? What do we do that sets our breath off in the negative way?
Well, it is essentially, it is medications that decrease your saliva. Saliva is essential to washing odor-producing particles free, so when there's less of it. So you get morning bad breath often from, in fact, medications. Another reason is you have a respiratory sinus secretion that passes into the throat, so sinus infections and post-nasal drip can lead to bad breath. Mouth breathing. Instead of breathing through your nose, where you have much more humidity, you breathe through your mouth, which leads to drier, smellier mouth. So that's obesity causing it, because you tend to be more on that way. Skimping on carbs. If you develop ketosis, that is, if you really go strong to a non-carbohydrate diet, you develop ketosis, which gives you bad breath, and then sometimes you can get it from underlying medical conditions. So certain cancers produce chemicals that give you distinctly bad breath.
Is it okay to swallow mouthwash?
Well, you know, mouthwash is pretty high in two things, an antibiotic and alcohol, so the answer is no, don't do it.
Okay. What do we need to know? We'll go to a break, and then you'll answer some email questions. What do we all need to know about our kitchen sponge?
Oh, it's probably the dirtiest thing in your kitchen. You should never have sponges in your kitchen. One of the experts on this is at Cornell. So what you should do is buy, you know, the cheap towels that you can throw away, use, and put in a Clorox bleach. And if you don't put it in Clorox bleach, just use a cheap towel and throw it away, or use those paper towels and throw them away. The sponges you have to put in your dishwasher, and even then they don't get all the bacteria and all the grumus out, and they can really harbor bad bacteria. So our approach is the sponge is the dirtiest place in your house.
Wow. Oh, we all use them.
Speak for yourself, John.
Well, okay. I'm speaking in general terms. But I mean, once you take it out of the wrapper and use it on something, it automatically becomes contaminated right away. Huh?
And it's a great, and you get put in food particles in there, which provide in water, and provides a great culture media for growing harmful stuff in your kitchen.
Okay. We're going to go on to a quick break here. Do not go away. Stay with us, because Dr. Mike is back. We have some emails from listeners, and we always appreciate the input from listeners who have a question or comment about things, and that is available to you at udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. So we'll take a couple of minutes to answer some email questions, then Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week for this hour coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
Hi. Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.